So we have a wonderful missions report this morning from Lenore Thorne, who the Lord is opening up an opportunity for her to go to Mongolia here shortly. Anybody ever been to Mongolia? No? Anybody know the capital of Mongolia? Besides the Thorne family? Yeah, it's about four syllables, something like that. Three or four syllables. Okay, very good. So let me say again, if you the younger classes stay in, Keith said he'd be in his class, but he welcomed his students that are in his class to stay in as well. So let me pray, and we're so grateful for the opportunity that the Lord has opened up before Lenore Thorne. Lenore's had a heart for missions for a long, long time. She's had a heart for Mongolia for a good long time as well, and an opportunity has opened. And of course, if you know Lenore, you know that she loves animals and veterinary sciences. All that's come together for her in God's providence in an opportunity this summer. So let's pray and ask God's blessing upon our time together. Then we're going to let Lenore give us some information about her upcoming trip. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we bless your name. You are the God of the nations. Thank you for the nation and the people's group that are in Mongolia. Thank you for the opportunity with this coming together of ways that are all in Lenore's wheelhouse, so to speak. So we pray as she makes this presentation that we'll have ears to hear and understanding hearts and prayerful hearts for her as well. We commit our time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so listen well. Listen carefully.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you. I want to thank our pastors specifically for giving me the opportunity to share with you guys about this opportunity in Mongolia. So I wanted to start out with just a short introduction about myself. I know we have several new people here lately. Most of you guys know me pretty well, but just for those who might not. So I am a licensed vet tech and also a full-time college student currently. And I have been raising goats and sheep on our family farm for over 10 years. I also work at Lebanon Animal Hospital, and I've been a member of Grace Baptist Church since 2012 when I was baptized here with the rest of my family. So a little bit about the Christian Veterinary Mission. So they were founded in 1976 by Dr. Leroy, a veterinarian from Georgia. And he was doing some work internationally as a Christian, and he was also a veterinarian. But at that time, he wasn't working as a veterinarian, but he saw a big need for veterinary work in a lot of these countries. So he teamed up with other Christian veterinarians to start this organization. Today, Christian Veterinary Mission works in at least 17 countries around the world. That was the best number I could get. They may be working in a few more than that. So the main mission of the Christian Vet Mission is it is a mission organization. They provide veterinary care. They use veterinary professionals. But the goal of the Christian Vet Mission is to bring people to Christ. So I have this slide. It's really long, but it was just to remind me to say that I do have a printout up here of the doctrinal statements for the Christian Veterinary Mission if you guys are interested in learning more specifically about this organization. And of course, I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have as well. So most of the time when I've been telling people that I'm thinking about going to Mongolia, they're like, why? Where is Mongolia? Why would anyone go to Mongolia? So I just thought I would tell you guys a little bit about why I'm specifically interested in this country and the way that God's opened up the opportunity to me. So with the background I have as a Christian and as a veterinary professional and also as a farmer raising goats and sheep, I've been aware of Mongolia just as a country for a long time. My family, including my mom, has always been fascinated by the nomadic lifestyle of the people there. And since we were raising goats and sheep as well, we felt like we had a connection and an understanding of their lifestyle more than maybe some other people would have. And then As a need for mission work, Mongolia is still largely unreached. Only 1.3% of the population are considered Christian, and that's probably less if you consider true Christians versus that's a lump of anyone who might possibly be considered Christian. And if you go into, that's probably more based in just the cities. If you look at the outer regions of Mongolia, Mongolia is an extremely large country. They do consider some of these areas to be completely unreached with no Christian population whatsoever. The rest of the country is about 51.7% Buddhist, some Hinduism, shamanism as well, and then also largely atheistic or agnostic because of the influence that the Soviet Union had in this country. They stamped out a lot of religious belief there, so that most of the population, especially in the cities, is unfortunately a lot like our population is becoming in Western countries, where they just are completely non-religious. So as a country, they still depend greatly on agriculture, which is why they are a great opportunity for an organization like the Christian Vet Mission to come in and partner with Mongolians, and that gives them a really big open door to these people because animals are so integral in their lifestyle. So this is just the short-term mission statement provided by the Christian Vet Mission, and I think it's important because the Christian Vet Mission is not a purely short-term mission organization. They have long-term missionaries in these countries, and they work with long-term organizations in these countries, and they utilize people to do short-term mission work. Because short-term mission work in and of itself would not be very productive at doing church planting or really reaching people if you were only there for 2 weeks or something. But they definitely have long-term projects going on in these countries, and they just try to fill specific needs that they're having each year with people that can come in with different skills and serve short-term. So in Mongolia, the Christian Vet Mission started a little bit before 1995, and they saw a need there, and after a couple years working directly as the Christian Vet Mission, they founded an organization called VetNet. VetNet is a multifaceted organization, and they serve as an NGO, and for those who don't know what that is, it's a non-governmental organization, which means they're not affiliated as a Christian or as a religious organization. They serve in Mongolia to provide continuing education opportunities, English as a second language, and other things for Mongolians, but they are completely staffed and run as a Christian organization. Some of you guys may remember when we went to Tijuana last summer, we worked with an organization called Radius, and they were also there as an NGO, which just means that we have to be a little bit more careful about what we're sharing. You'll see in this PowerPoint, there's not going to be any pictures of people preaching the gospel or handing out Bibles, just because they're trying to be very careful not to compromise their reputation in the country. However, Mongolia is open to the gospel. It's not illegal to share your faith in Mongolia, and they certainly do discipleship. They do praise and worship, Bible studies, all of that as a part of their work there. They just try not to publicize it in photographs or anything like that. Another thing I thought was important to point out was that this organization is completely run by Mongolians at this point. They started with help from the Christian Vet Mission, but the entire board and most of the staff, aside from some foreign correspondents that help coordinate things like the short-term mission work, is completely Christian Mongolian nationals that are running it. So this is just a photo of their most recent picture of the team that's working at Christian VetNet. Some of the people I'll be working with there probably... So this is a few different areas. Because I'm going to be in the country for about 2.5 months working. And so there's several different aspects of the ministry that I'll have the opportunity to be a part of. So their continuing education and discipleship, that the continuing education portion is veterinary continuing education for the native Mongolian veterinarians and veterinary students. So that is an opportunity for them to bring them in for a higher quality education, and also to have them there for devotional work and discipleship while they're there for the Christian, for the veterinary training. And as a vet tech, I'll be a part of the training for just introductory veterinary students, teaching them some basic veterinary skills, and also working in their small animal clinic that they have. And then this is a completely separate part of the VetNet mission work that I'll have an opportunity to work with. The Klamath County is actually not veterinary related. This is a strictly ministry related portion, which the exciting thing about this is if I end up doing long-term work there, anybody from our church could potentially be a part of this work. This, if you're not a veterinary professional, you can still come and be a part of their work with the nomadic children and families. So each summer they go out into these towns, and because of the lifestyle of the people, their children don't have any access to the government school because they're just traveling around so frequently. So the Christian VetNet team will go in and give them some basic education and also some human health education, as well as this is where they really are focusing on their church planting, and their goal is to set up churches in each of these areas that they've worked in. So I put this slide up just as a reminder. I think there's a very different perspective on veterinary care for other countries versus a lot of times the United States, because even as a veterinary professional in the United States, I think veterinary care is often a luxury item, meaning you don't need veterinary care. You don't have to have a dog, you don't have to have a cat. But for some people in other countries, it's very different because these animals are their entire livelihood, and without proper care for them, they could very really be starving, especially in Mongolia, where these nomadic herders, if they were to lose their entire flock or herd of animals, it would be a very serious thing for them, versus in the U.S., it's not really thought of in the same sense as it would be here. So just a few points on logistics. So I'll be there 2.5 months. I leave in the end of May, and I'll be returning beginning of August. So the flight is actually through Korean Air, and I fly through Nashville, through New York, and then straight through to Seoul, South Korea, where I'll have a 13-hour layover in Seoul, and then on to Mongolia. So, of course, there are some fundraising needs. It's extremely expensive to travel internationally, as some of you probably know. The airline ticket is around $3,000. And then VetNet asks for a certain amount of money per day to help cover room and board and different expenses for just living in their country. And some of that cost also goes to, I don't speak Mongolian, so I don't know. There's not a lot of people that do speak Mongolian in the U.S., and so they have to team us up with Mongolians that speak English and Mongolian to translate and just help us to survive in the country while we're there. And so some of this cost is actually going toward feeding them and their transportation, because you're kind of like a team of two while you're there with this other person. So that's just some ways that you guys could donate if you feel led to do so. I do have a handout up front too if you guys are interested in helping in this way. And then another way, just a small way that I thought would be a fun way for our church to be involved if you all were interested, is that when we go out to the countryside, they have requested that we bring small gifts for the children, and I thought it would be cool to be able to have some different families from Grace Baptist Church say that their own things had gone out there and been given to children in Mongolia. I have some information about that as well on the handout, and be happy to talk if any of your families want to help with that. So just some prayer requests. Definitely safety traveling from here to Mongolia. It's a very long flight. And so just that all the logistical considerations with so many layovers and that sort of thing, that God would bless that plan. And then, of course, there's a war going on in Ukraine right now. So just prayers that that would not interfere with the trip or cause us to have to come back early or anything like that. They're still watching that situation and trying to make wise judgment calls in regards to that. Of course, COVID has been a concern for the past several years, and actually, y'all probably would have heard about this trip a lot sooner, except that they were on hold for probably the last year, not sure if we'd even be able to get into the country. Mongolia was completely locked down last year. It was only about 3 weeks ago that I found out that this trip would actually be taking place. Mongolia has since completely opened back up, so at the moment we don't think that travel will be an issue there, but that was just something they were watching really closely over the past year to see if they could set these short-term mission trips up this summer at all. And then, of course, to be a good witness for Christ there, I know there will be a lot of cultural differences, obviously a giant language barrier, but I trust that God will be able to use me through throughout, even despite that. And I just pray that he would. So I did set up, for those of you that use Facebook, I did set up a Facebook page that I will hopefully be able to share some updates on while I'm there and leading up to the trip. There, while in the city where I'll be living, they do have internet connection. So I probably will be able to share a little bit at least while I'm there. And then I didn't know if we could open up, if anybody had any questions. Yeah. Not yet.
You're not done with the slideshow. We are going to open it up for questions in just a moment. But I want you to go back to the slide of where the map of Mongolia is and the Mongolia flag. And put that in context for us in terms of how Mongolia is really, really sandwiched right in between two incredible hot spots in the world. So break that down for us a little bit geographically.
Yeah, so Mongolia is bordered on their southern border by China and their northern border by Russia. I think they share a small portion of a border with Kazakhstan. But because of that situation, they have to keep relatively good relations with China and Russia, because if you're imagining you're Mongolia, you're thinking, I might just disappear if I don't have a good relationship with China and Russia. So they're closer allies with Russia than China. Just historically, they had a better relationship with Russia, so some of the issues in Ukraine are a little bit more touchy there than and less clear-cut to them than it may seem to us. Not that the situation is different, just the people's perspective on it may be different, because they receive basically 100% of their energy from Russia. So as another aside, they just in terms of geography and political relationships, Mongolia is a democratic government system. They were previously a Soviet bloc country, and they gained their freedom around the 1990s. They gained independence, and at that point, their government was a complete disaster. Their country had no infrastructure. When the Soviet Union pulled out, that was just a disaster area there. So at that point, they actually reached out to the United States, Japan, South Korea, different democratic countries, and were seeking to set up a government more like that, which, considering their location and their history, is pretty amazing, because most of the countries that were previous Soviet bloc countries did not go that route, and they still struggle significantly with corruption and other issues. Not that the Mongolian government is perfect. They're still very young and trying to figure it out, and I'm sure they have lots of their own problems, but that was the goal, and that's where they've set their hope on, is to be looking more toward the United States or some other of these Asian countries that are more democratic.
So going to a country that's sandwiched between Russia and China, that is something for us to keep in prayer about. We have an expression in the English language about someone going to Outer Mongolia. You've said to us that there will be times where you may not be in that capital city. However, by the way, would you pronounce the name of the capital city?
Ulaanbaatar.
Ulaanbaatar. That you might be some of the time in Ulaanbaatar, but that you may also really be out there in Outer Mongolia, living in those, what do they call those houses?
They're called yurts or gurs. Gur is more the traditional Mongolian word for
gur,
it.
Those tent-like things that are their nomadic dwellings. And that you may very well be out in some of those instances, places as well. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. Yeah, so they send out teams into the countryside, the outer regions of the country, and they will. That would either be through that Claim a Country project that I mentioned, or also through the veterinary continuing education project, because they send teams of veterinarians out to work with the countryside vets and just help them to bolster the work that they're already doing there and also try to disciple them.
All right, so I'll be ready to pass the microphone around. In a moment, I'm going to ask Laura to go back to another specific slide. But before we do that, maybe there's some questions you'd like to pass along to her, and I'll bring the mic around. Is that Lisa? Oh, Matt.
No.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
I know that you don't know the Mongolian language. Will you be using some sort of like Rosetta Stone or translator to learn some of the language before you head on to Mongolia?
Yes. So they I probably will not learn a lot of it going out because there are pretty limited resources in terms of Mongolian language. I don't know if Rosetta Stone has a version for Mongolian, but they do provide us with some websites that we can try to learn at least some basic phrases through before heading over.
Lenore, I noticed in their flag, right in that flag, they've got the yin and yang symbol, and you indicate that 51.7% are Buddhists.
Mm-hmm.
Are these primarily nominal Buddhists? Are these dedicated Buddhists? You know, do you have any idea? I mean, just like, you know, we have nominal Christians mm-hmm. in America, I imagine there are nominal Buddhists in Mongolia as well.
Yeah, I think, I don't know completely, but I think that some would be nominal, just culturally there would be more a culture of Buddhism. I haven't heard of any issues specifically with persecution from, I know in some other countries the Buddhists can be pretty violent against Christians, and I haven't heard of any issues with that there, so they may just be more nominal or less extremist than some other areas that have a Buddhist population. But among the actual Mongolian people, Buddhism is not their original religion either. It was imported from China and from India too, so it's kind of like they have a whole lot of different religions coming into their country in the past just through the different wars they've been a part of, and so I think that their original religion, I'm not even sure what that was, probably more animistic or just tribal spirit, something like that.
Thank you.
Besides Mr. Observant, Art Pinzer, how many noticed the yin and yang symbol in the Mongolian flag?
Okay, the first part's not a question. I don't want to embarrass you, but as families at Grace Baptist Church with livestock, we can all testify that Lenore has selflessly served us and helped us with our animals on countless occasions. Oh, just hoof care, disbudding with health issues, yeah, yes, birthing, emergencies, countless things that she has done. So to see you, you're already doing service to people here in your own body, and you're just extending it elsewhere. So praise God for that. And the second question I had was, having spent some time in Bangladesh, I saw that there was a huge open door with college students. Is there after, you know, your hours are complete, is there like small group type things where there's young people that seem to be open to somebody from abroad that you are aware of, or other opportunities, you know, after hours, after working, that you are aware of?
Yes, so they encouraged me. They said that they do partner with a college there, a veterinary school that Mongolia has started for their own people. And so they bring those students in quite a bit to receive training and do clinical rotations and that sort of thing in the clinics. But they said that they encourage us strongly to hang out as much as possible with them. Obviously, if they're girls, bring them up to your apartment, hang out with them, really get to know them, and maybe you'll have an opportunity to strengthen their faith if they're already Christian, or share your faith if they're not.
Has the Bible been translated into Mongolian?
It has, yes. I think there's at least one translation. There may be more because they mentioned there's some controversy about different Mongolian translations. So there's at least one.
Is it wide open there, or is it illegal?
It's wide open. The government is not currently restricting any religious activity. They don't restrict you to share your faith. I think that their rationale behind setting VetNet up as a non-governmental organization is just to be really specific about providing the veterinary care, and that way they can have an open door to people who would be turned off if they knew right away that they were a Christian organization.
So Sheila brought up the other night that Voice of the Martyrs is trying to bring Bibles into certain countries. Will you be bringing any with you?
I don't think so, because I don't have any Mongolian Bibles, so I don't know that they would be able to use an English Bible very well.
But you could donate to Voice of the Martyrs. Maybe they will. Lenore, explain to them the connection with China in regard to food and how food in the outer regions is, and vegan vegetarians, and whether they should go or not. And then also one last thing, how your life will look when you're out of the city at Ulaanbaatar, how it will look for just toiletry items and the life out there and how that looks.
Yes, so Mongolians traditionally eat almost entirely meat and dairy products. And if you think about their country and their lifestyle, they're so far north, they're a very arid environment. There's not a lot of opportunity to grow any sort of crops. So traditional Mongolian food is almost 100% meat and dairy. And then as they've kind of been able to import stuff, they import some grains, potatoes, that sort of thing. But there's a saying that it's really, really hard. Well, Mongolians don't like traditional Mongolian food because it really isn't that great. If you think, like, they agree that it's not that great. There's not a lot of seasonings because there's just nothing available in the outer regions to do that. Of course, they've lived for thousands of years that way and done just fine. But as soon as they have the opportunity to get some other type of food, they generally do. So in the capital, they said you basically won't find traditional Mongolian food. They eat a lot of Korean, Japanese, Thai, American. They said they have KFC there. That they they said they'll love to take you to KFC. I was like, well. So in terms of their connection with China and their food, so they, in the city, because they do desire to have a little bit more variety of food, they import a lot of their greens and fruits and vegetables from China. And a big issue with that is that China has extremely high levels of pesticide use, so a lot of the food is not necessarily the safest when they bring it in. But is that where you were going with that? Yeah. Yeah, so they don't recommend you come to Mongolia if you're a vegetarian or vegan. There's just not a lot of opportunity to eat that way there. They said you might be able to survive for a week if you came for a very short term, because there's always going to be some rice, but I don't think anyone really wants to live on only rice for too long. And certainly they said if you're going to the countryside, it's just not an option because there is not enough. They don't have any other type of food.
And then how you will have to live while you're out on that outer region for between a week and 2 weeks.
Yeah, so when they take you out to the countryside, it's very primitive. There's a lot of contrast in Mongolia because in the city is relatively Western. It has basically everything that a normal westernized city would have, but as soon as you get out of the city, there is no running water, no electric. Definitely you're not going to have cell phone service or internet. You'll just be on that team, and you'll sleep wherever they end up for the night, so most of the time that might be one of the Mongolian gurs, just all there. So you have to be very flexible, not expect to get a shower, just be roughing it pretty much.
For the information, not expect to get a shower maybe for days. So Mongolians do not ask, where's the beef? They ask, where's the vegetables?
Lenore, could you be more specific about what your financial needs are?
That was a specific slide I wanted you to go back to, so we'll just answer Ms. Julie's question. Go back to the slide about the financial breakdown. I understand it's sometimes awkward to talk about finances, but I want you to put that awkwardness aside and talk in specifics about finances and about your specific needs at this moment. Be very specific.
Yes, so to the best of my estimate, through the information that Christian Vet Mission has given me, the cost for the total trip should be around $11,000. And that's part of that is the airfare, which I've already purchased the plane tickets for this trip. They were around $3,000. And when I expressed interest in this trip over a year ago when I started planning, I was not sure how much interest our church would have in it. And so I'm extremely grateful for the opportunity to share with you guys and for anyone who's interested in helping. I am a college student, so funding is appreciated because it's expensive to go to college and then not be able to work in the summer as well.
So VetNet is asking you to provide, at a minimum, $80 per day while you're there. So mm-hmm. $5,600 that's going to split between you and your Mongolian helper, mm-hmm. translator, and so forth. That's a need.
Yes.
The trip deposit probably has been paid.
Yes, yes.
The plane tickets came out of Lenora's own pocket at this point. The additional food transportation, we ask her to be not stingy with that figure. So hopefully you've not been stingy with that figure so that you're not over there. You have plenty of what you need there. So the total cost estimated, the $11,268.07. And does that include the airfare?
Yes.
That's included in that
yes.
amount. And then, obviously, the $6,210 needed by April 21st, and today is, April 10? How are we on that figure?
How much have I raised toward that?
How much you have towards that figure? I know you've sent out a few. Why don't you hold up a copy of your prayer letter that you sent out with the...
I put it in my backpack.
Okay, so you've sent that out to some family members and friends.
Yes.
As well, and have gotten... Really not much response, but some response from that. Okay. Talk about also now just the two handouts. You have the doctrinal statement. You mentioned that. But then also you have a specific handout. There are 50 of those available to pass out mm-hmm. that will break down how to give financially. Is that correct?
That's correct. So I have a handout up front that talks about how to give through the Christian Vet Mission. And the nice thing about giving through them directly is that they put it in an account for me. During the trip, I just would keep receipts for everything. And so at the end of the trip, I'd report my expenses to them, and they would refund me for those direct expenses. If there was anything excess over that, they can either hold it over for another mission trip, or they can donate it to a missionary that's already there. So I think that's a nice way. That way, if there is, if I wasn't to use up that entire amount of money during my time there, then there's a good way to use that. They also, of course, are tax deductible donations through them.
So we have 50 copies of that available, and those are available. So Lenore has not been a loose cannon on this. She appreciates and understands the place of the local church. When she came to us recently and said, I've got an opportunity to go to Mongolia, it wasn't like we said, what do you mean, Mongolia? We've been hearing her talk about Mongolia for several years. Now, COVID shut that down, and as she said a few moments ago, it was only, this has kind of been in the works, it's only been within the last few weeks or so that the green light came on mm-hmm. for this to happen. But that wasn't her beginning. I mean, she's kept the elders in the loop throughout the time recently with just information and all those kinds of things. And so let's be sure that the Lord lays it on our hearts that we're giving towards her. I've assured her that I think Hudson Taylor was the one who said, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. We've desired and been praying for missions opportunities in our church for some time, and here's one that we can get behind and support. Any other questions you might have, though? Yes, Monica has another one.
Are you allowed to receive care packages? I know that you're only going to be there for 2.5 months, but as a church, can we give you care packages? Will there be detained? Will it take longer for you to receive it?
I'm not sure about that. They haven't mentioned how it would be to ship something to Mongolia. I'd imagine it's quite expensive to do that since they're so far away. I think, I'm not sure on that one.
Plus, you'll be moving around.
Yes, mm-hmm. I won't be. I don't know that I'll have a firm address any of the time that I'm there. And one thing my mom wanted me to mention as well is this is a relatively short-term trip in the scheme of things, but there are long-term opportunities with Christian Vet Mission, and I am definitely interested in that. I have to come back to the United States, unfortunately, to finish one more semester of college, but if the Christian Vet Mission there liked me and there was an opportunity, I would be interested in going back long-term.
Okay. This is awesome, Lenore. I'm so excited about this. Just rejoicing. I just thought it might be good to make it perfectly clear if someone was writing a check today, because I know you've given the website. If someone used the website, that's clear. But if we were writing a check today, is that to Lenore? Is that to the mission? How does that work?
It's they're made out to the Christian Vet Mission, and there's some directions for exactly how to do that on the handout. But they would be made out to the Christian Vet Mission, but you would need to, I think in the memo, designate it to Lenore Thorne short-term missions. That way when they get it, they know it's not just a general donation to the Christian Vet Mission, but it's actually to be applied to this trip.
Two and a half months is longer than your average short-term mission trip, which is usually somewhere around a week and a half to 2 weeks, including travel time. So this is definitely not long-term, but 2.5 months is going to be a good long time to endure what you're going to be enduring there. Who am I giving it to?
So you can just put in, if you want to write a check to Grace Baptist and put it in the memo, I'll write one check out to them.
Any other closing remarks you'd like to make, Lenore?
Well, I'm just extremely thankful for the support that you all have given as a church for this, and I would definitely appreciate your continued prayers. There's so many logistical issues with traveling internationally like this, so just prayers in regards to a smooth path for that, and also prayers for me spiritually as I'm preparing to go out by myself like this.
Who else do you think we ought to pray for besides Lenore in this situation? Anybody else?
I want to pray for Bergen.
Bergen! By the way, I've seen you, Carol. You've to help to do all of this, because you're going to be away, I think you mentioned how you have basically stopped doing farming right now, just because you're going to be out of the country for so long. Yeah. And right?
I completed the sale of my entire herd of dairy goats yesterday morning, and I'll be selling the sheep as soon as they're done lambing this year, so we won't have any more animals before I leave. I just felt like with me being gone that long and with my desire to pursue missions that they were something that was keeping me back, and I wanted to make sure to let go of that before I left.
I think Pastor Carol has a comment or a question, and I'm going to let him make that, and then when you're done, if you'll take all this to the Lord in prayer.
You have reminded me of a trip that I took 25 years ago to India. My wife went to great lengths to prepare my suitcase full of everything that I would need. I landed in Amsterdam, I landed in Delhi, and I get to Delhi to the airport and no bags. Your trip sort of reminds me of Marine training in the wilderness, okay? You may be out there and your bag might not make it. We can pray, by the way, we can pray that her baggage makes it, okay? That was the important thing. I want you to know I think it was 18 days in India. And the clothes I had on was the clothes I left with and the clothes I came back with, so y'all can all let that go into your imaginations in regard to that, but I want you to know that I'm very thankful for you venturing in your heart to do this. And may God bless you as you go. But it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. So I'm going to pray for you to be tough in your mindset. But then I'd also share with all of my brothers and sisters here in the church that we should send this young lady off with much grace and giving to support her as she goes. We have been praying for a missionary for years and years and years to leave Grace Baptist Church. And Lenore, I just honestly have to confess, I wouldn't have thought it would have been a beautiful young lady like you, okay? But I'm very glad that it's a beautiful young lady that's doing this. And ask the Lord's blessing there. So y'all pray for her as she goes. Let's bow our heads and hearts. Father, you say in your word that we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I wouldn't have thought Mongolia would have been qualified in that regard, but it is. Lord, there are, without doubt, because of your word unto us, brothers and sisters in the Lord. In Mongolia, speaking a language that we cannot even begin to speak, and Lord, we would ask as Lenore goes, that Lord, she would find one of our brothers and sisters there. And Lord, have the great joy of pointing them to Christ. Father, I'd ask that you would help her in every part of the ministry there. I'm sure she'll be rough and tough with yaks or whatever they are. And with animals I don't even know how to describe or to name. But I do believe she has a lot of gifts in that, and Lord, you've already trained her in that. So, Lord, we thank you for that. But, Lord, multiply her heart toward missions as she's there, and multiply our giving to support her and help her there. Lord, we bless you for your love towards us. Lord, may we all catch the missionary bug. May we be going everywhere. Open our mouths and proclaim the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Because apart from it, we're lost and undone. But in faith and believing in the Christ, the Son of God, we're saved eternally. And Lord, we rejoice that it is so. We bless you now for this time. And bless Lenore, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.